Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these games.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield, just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the reflection. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in third
to hand. SEC Mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the South.
What's up, people? Welcome back to SEC Mixtape. We back in here. G Willis, you with me? G Willis, where you at, baby? Oh. All right. Everyone, SEC Mixtape is back. It's 2017. We got a new logo. We got a new attitude. We got a new show. We got it all. We ready. We ready. So, you know, we gonna jump right in. First of all, I miss y'all. I miss y'all. I miss y'all, SEC. I miss the SEC football fans, but I got some good news. I got some good news, people. Things have changed for SEC Mixtape. Old Bonzo got some good news. First and foremost, thanks to all you people, we're able to come back for another year. We actually have a few sponsors this year. But, you know, I know y'all don't want to hear that sad story, hear all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. So I'm just going to get right to the point, man. We're going to talk about some SEC football. Where do I even start at? First of all, I gotta get my co-host on. G Willis, where you at, buddy? Well, what a way to start the year off with a couple problems. But that's fine. That's fine. He'll get back on. We'll get it going. We'll get the party back going. But I'm gonna move on right now. So first up, we got to talk about this football thing, man. We almost there. We almost there. It's almost that time, man. We right around that 90-day mark. We right around that 90-day mark, man. And things are about to get great. Things are about to get great. So I'm gonna start out by covering a few, few spring games, man.
Can you hear me now?
G Willis, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yo.
Yes, man. Did you call with that track phone? First phone call with
the
track
man,
phone.
Oh man, it's on me now.
No trap phone.
No.
no trap phone. G Willis. The people are here, man, and I was just letting everybody know, man, that we back. We back, man.
Right.
We back in this thing discussing football.
You couldn't hear me?
I couldn't, man. I could not hear you. I could not hear you. The people,
wow.
I don't think the people could hear you either. So y'all,
okay, cool.
For the first time.
I was listening to the great things you were saying about the upcoming year. I'm excited,
man,
as well.
Hey, it's going down, G Willis, but you know how our fans are, G. They're always tweeting us right now, saying shut up talking about your personal stuff, man. Get to football. So we're gonna go ahead and get to it. First and foremost, there's a baby that I gotta put to sleep. There's a baby that I must put to sleep just to go ahead and we can go ahead and start the year. I really wish Billy Bad was here. Because he helped me put this baby to sleep, but this is it.
Yep.
Okay. I received a tweet today on Twitter, G. And what the tweet said was, this is exactly what it said. It's a damn shame what Gus Malzahn did to Jeremy Johnson. If Jeremy Johnson had played at Alabama, he would have been a first-round draft.
I'll rephrase that.
Okay.
And I disagree with
so
that.
So that's what people
it's have not, it's not what he did to Jeremy Johnson. It's what he didn't do to Jeremy Johnson. He didn't coach him.
G. Willis? Nope. I can't let you
hold
do that.
On that. You know that,
I'm gonna put
my thing.
Baby to bed.
Well, hey,
I'm gonna
put it to bed so I can I maybe can nudge him because I don't. That's just my take on
Let's
it.
Let's put it to bed.
I definitely agree with him going to Alabama though. But go ahead, I'm listening.
This is my take on it. Nothing against Jeremy Johnson. I think he's a great guy. I do. If Jeremy Johnson called me right now and was like, "Hey, I want to get a segment on the show," I would say yes. I would say yes, Jeremy Johnson. You know, you play football. I'm pretty sure you can add a lot of value to the show. However, let me tell you something. I remember this guy named Steve McNair. You remember Aaron McNair?
Come on, man.
You remember him, G. Willis?
Come on, man. You know that was my guy, man.
Aaron McNair.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, man. He came from an HBCU. And I'm pretty sure that he didn't have the level of training that Jeremy Johnson had. Now, I'm saying all that to say, great quarterbacks prevail. I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you're at. It happens. They say
well,
so all I'm saying is Jeremy Johnson, if Jeremy Johnson was a great quarterback, at some point at Auburn, we would have seen it. We would have seen it.
His natural abilities
would
have taken over is what you're saying.
Exactly. Leadership quality. You know, things would have happened. So I'm not saying that Jeremy Johnson is a bad person. Like I said, if he called his show right now and said, "Hey, look, I want to do a segment," I say yes. However, if I own the NFL team and Jeremy Johnson said, "Hey, I want to be quarterback," I'm no. And that should be the end of that. I feel like that should be the end of that. You know, Jeremy Johnson, man, I'm glad you became an Auburn man. You stood in it. You know, you did your thing. You lasted 4 years, and now you have your shot at the NFL. However, I just don't.
What?
I can't agree with Gus Malzahn, like, being the cause of his downfall. That's it. I just wanted people have been tweeting that like crazy. I mean, I've been seeing that.
Let me add
Auburn
this to
fans,
it, man.
Bama fans, everybody. Go ahead, G.
Bonzo. I mean, again, this is from a perspective of a football perspective, which is watching the game, watching his play. I agree. He was definitely, and again, I think he's a good kid. I don't know him personally, but I think he was a head case the whole time he was there. He showed little spurts of the talent that everybody saw in spring and summer practice before the disastrous season when he showed who he was. I mean, the guy had all of the intangibles, everything that he was supposed to have, but never came out. And again, when I said what I said, I'm not taking that back. I think he could have been coached a little bit more, with a little bit more structure. I think he could have won a little bit more games than he did. I think they could have utilized what he does right and won a little bit more games, and he could be more of a NFL. Right now, I wouldn't ever.
I'll ask you this, G.
I'll pick him on my team, but go ahead.
I'll ask you this, G. He lost out to Sean White.
Okay.
What did Gus Malzahn actually have to do with him losing out to Sean White?
He didn't.
They were developed at the same time.
He didn't give him the structure he needed to be great. I agree.
You know,
so I'm just saying.
You know, I felt like that was a baby that should be put to bed. You know, a lot of people, I see that in a lot of players. I see that in players now. I see a lot of players do that. They point fingers. You know, that's a life thing. You have to
and that was
take
gonna be
responsibility.
My speech for tonight. My speech for
you
tonight was going to be this. All the info I'm going to give out tonight, I'm not going to give you anything from anybody else's perspective. Everything is going to be my perspective, how I see it.
That's
because
what it's
anybody
about.
Who's listening to this podcast, they know that, hey, you can listen to Firebomb and I can listen to them and just give you exactly what they're saying. I'm not going to do that. My thing is,
nope.
I see what the guy was doing. I thought he had much potential. And I'm just going off what I've heard other players say, not what other analysts have said, but other players that have left Auburn University felt like they were not developed at certain positions. And I think
we're talking about Jeremy Johnson right here.
But it's more. But if you're looking at the entire case, you can definitely float into somebody else's, you know, their equation to balance out this one. Again, my point, I think, is still somewhat valid, saying that maybe, you know what, we never will definitely know, you know, and they need to say that at the end of every Steve's what's the crazy man of ESPN? I don't even want to say the names. When they go off on their rants, they don't ever say, hey, that's just my perspective. Even though the name of the show is First Take, it's not true. It's truly just their opinion. At the end of the day, I'm telling you right now, we'll never know why the guy sucked at Auburn. We'll never know.
Well,
because he doesn't know why he sucked
at Auburn. I wish the guy the best of luck. I wish him the best of luck and whatever he decides to do. You know, he may become a great coach. He may become a great coach, and I'll say it right now. He does have a tryout in the NFL. And if he goes there and burns it up, I will eat crow. Jeremy Johnson, if you're listening, I know Jeremy has a few relatives who listen to the show, and they're going to be burning me up tomorrow. But if you're listening, I will eat crow if you become a great NFL quarterback. I
hope he does.
If you start a game,
I think he's
NFL.
A great kid.
I hope that he does. But if he starts a game in the NFL, I will come back to this show and I will do an entire 30-minute segment talking about how wrong I was.
And there's no reason to do that because I'm telling you because you
I'm
know what
right.
you can't change history.
I'm usually right.
He still did nothing at Auburn. You can't change that. If he goes to the Giants, wherever he's trying out, I think he's trying out with the Giants. And if he does great, awesome. But at the end of the day, when he goes back to Auburn, kids are still going to say, that's that guy that sucked the whole time he was there. And that still is going to happen.
Well, you know what? Well, okay. So I really had to go ahead and approach that situation because I've been getting a lot of I've just been seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter about it. And, you know, I decided to go ahead and say what I had to say. All right, man, we're gonna move on to some off-season developments, man, some things that have happened, you know, during the off-season. And, you know, one of the things that I think it's almost amazing, man, that Ole Miss, you know, what they're going through right now, it's almost just went away. You know, people aren't talking about it. People aren't talking about it at all. But we are talking about, you know, possibly Hugh Freeze. We're not even sure if Hugh Freeze coaches in 2017 yet. That isn't clear. It's not clear at all.
I'm positive.
You're positive that he will coach in 2017?
You're the only guy, and I'm not downing you at all when I say this. You might be on something, but you're the only guy who is speculating all of the huge scandal at Ole Miss. Now, everybody knows there is still a lot of stuff that needs to be cleared up. But you're the only guy
I'm the only guy who says it because I see exactly what's going on. I see what's going on. I see it. I know it. I see the recruits running. And this is another thing that I end up being right on. A lot of people, you know, I'll end up being right. At some point, Hugh Freeze will be suspended. You know, maybe not a whole
nah.
season, maybe not an entire season.
I don't see it.
But at some point, Hugh Freeze will miss some games. I tell you what, if the first 10 callers to call in tonight, if Hugh Freeze doesn't miss any game, I'll give all you guys T-shirts. I'll send them to your house. You know, call in the show so we can take down your information. You can call into the show at 323-870-4081. Call in, you know, call in, let us know. Like I said, we'll take some information down from tonight. We'll give you a call in. We'll give you our Twitter address. Just send me your address. And if Hugh Freeze doesn't miss any games, I'll send you guys. I'll send you a free T-shirt. I'll send it. That's how confident I am. I'm putting my own
I'm going to go completely against
Freeze.
You on that one.
I'm putting my own money on Hugh Freeze, Bitch and Game. That's fine.
You're a rich man, bro.
So
maybe you got plenty of money.
Maybe, according to G. Willis, you guys should call in right now for a free T-shirt. Per G. Willis.
Definitely. Call my phone if you can't get him.
Because if we get to that 2017 and Hugh Freeze doesn't miss
his game. Does everybody just want free T-shirts? Because that's pretty crazy what he just said. But
the first 10 people who call in, you get the first 10 people who call in tonight. If Hugh Freeze doesn't miss any time in 2017, I'll give you free T-shirts at the end of the season. They're really nice T-shirts, too. They're really nice.
You got to be a little
anyway,
more specific. Time for what? What if he gets sick?
No.
Be specific.
I'm not playing that game. This is all a NCAA allegation. Hugh Freeze will miss time. The NCAA is not done. They are not done with Ole Miss. They're not pleased with Ole Miss giving the bowl ban. From everything that I've read, you know, the NCAA, they're not done with Ole Miss, and it's not going to shock me when Ole Miss, you know, misses some time. Okay, man, let's go ahead and bring the elephant in the room, man.
Already.
First and foremost, I'm going to go ahead and approach this. Once again, you know the call-in number. You can call in the show if you have comments, 323-870-4081. Once again, that's 323-870-4081. But the elephant in the room is I'm just going to say it like it is. Some of you people are crazy. Some of you fans are absolutely crazy. To think that a true freshman would start against Florida State when you have a quarterback who lost a grand total of one game last year, lost in the championship game. Wasn't his fault. He actually led the team on a game-winning drive. He did. The defense couldn't stop anybody, though, that particular night. Well, they couldn't. I can't say anybody. They couldn't stop Deshaun Watson. But, I mean, I've been
– I like the way you're
painting
this.
It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. It's everywhere. Like, people really think the Hawaiian is going to start over a season.
You know, here's the sad part. I've spoken to a lot of guys before the spring game. And they still didn't know who Tua was. I mean, they still don't know who the big Hawaiian guy is. Okay, now after the spring game, a lot of people were saying exactly what you're saying. Well, he does pass better. They used the word throw, the term throw. He throws better than Hurts. Hurts did throw. He did throw the ball better, I would say, on the long ball. He put it out there at the end of the day. I still think if you want a more efficient offense, you got to go with Tua.
Okay, I'm
not first game. I'm gonna do a bit. I wish I could imitate his voice. For all you new listeners, that Billy Bad has this a distinct tone and voice. But by the third game, by the third game, Billy said that he would be the starter. And this is the Alabama fan talking, Billy Bad.
Well, look, I don't care who says it, and I'll argue Billy Bad to the moon. But I'm saying this. Jalen Hurts did enough offensively to win the championship.
Yeah,
he did.
I agree.
He did enough offensively to win a championship. So if he did enough offensively to win a championship, why we're talking about Nick Saban? We have watched this man for years. And one thing about Nick Saban, he loves to play safe bets. He loves to play safe bets. He does. He's not big into trick plays. He's not big into a lot of the shiny, flashy stuff. Nick Saban wants to do what he knows wins. He wants to do what he knows wins. Florida State possibly has the best, I'll say this, Florida State's defensive line.
Tennessee, any better.
There's only one college in the country right now that has those caliber players, and that is Alabama.
And that's Alabama, right.
That's Alabama. So do you play a quarterback who's never played a college football game? Well, even I'll go even bigger than that. He played his high school ball in Hawaii. He plays high school ball in Hawaii.
Did you see the spring game?
I watched the spring game. But
you
know what else about, you know thing about spring game?
I don't think
you know thing about spring game? I watched Auburn spring game. You know, and Jarrett still looked good in the spring game. However, it's a spring game. You don't have to worry about somebody knocking your head off.
Most definitely. And Alabama's defense sandbagged the whole game. They got a little angry out there in the last part of the game. They didn't play. They matter of fact, they were told not to blitz until like the last part of the game. But let me just say this. I don't think the question is this, Mr. Bonzo, since it's just me and you going at it tonight. The issue is not whether the guy will start the first game. I mean, you cannot – there is no way a Nick Saban would bench Jalen Hurts for taking them to the national championship. There's no way you're going to be benched. I don't care who you – if you got
– Exactly.
You can bring Cam Newton in. There's no way you're going to be benched. But
– Exactly.
Let's fast forward to the third game. And let's say Jalen Hurts has already lost. If they lose the Florida State game,
mm-hmm.
if they lose that mm-hmm. game by the third game, would
mm-hmm.
you say less? Because okay, let's look at it like this. Let me go even deeper. We're looking at recruiting, even though Alabama has no problem recruiting. You have a guy on Alabama's team who may be the best receiver in college football.
Okay,
who barely
I'm going to have to put a little hashtag or star or something by that.
Because
last year, and you know what? I don't disagree with that. But, G. Willis, I'm going to read Alabama's schedule. I'm going to call it out.
Okay.
And I think this will change your mind. If you're a fair guy,
right.
This should change your mind. Okay.
Right.
So you say they'll change up by the third game. The first game, Alabama has Florida State. The second game, they have Fresno State. The third game, they have Colorado State. The fourth game, they have
fourth
Vanderbilt.
Okay, maybe fifth game.
Fifth game, they have Ole Miss. The sixth game, they have Texas A&M. The seventh game, they have Arkansas.
We'll talk about Arkansas in a minute. That's one of my teams.
Then
we'll talk about Tennessee in a minute.
Then they have LSU, Mississippi State, Mercer, then the Iron Bowl. So
they're not playing anybody
this
year, basically, is what we're saying.
After that first game, win, lose, or draw, Alabama still has a great shot of making it to the championship game. Win, lose, or draw that first game, Alabama still has a great shot.
Tell me
this,
being a fair observer of college and SEC football, can you honestly say that you think – Alabama has a fair schedule? They're playing SEC teams, but they're all out of conference, off conference, whatever you want to call it, teams that they're playing. Are they up to speed? Okay, they playing Florida State, Mercer. Come on, brother.
They playing Fresno State, and Colorado State. You know, but you know that you can only play the schedule. And you know, man, there are quite a few SEC schools, man, who leave out of conference a lot to be desired when it comes to out of conference games.
That's an entirely different.
In fact, that's a whole show. We can do an entire show.
I'm already sick of hearing about this crap with Alabama this year. I mean, I guess why y'all couldn't hear me, that I'm going to be nicer this year. I'm throwing that away already. It's not going to happen. I mean, Alabama, I mean, the people that you guys play, not knocking the talent you have, the coach you have, the stadium, your cheerleaders, the songs you sing, that has nothing to do with this equation. I think it would do college football a great justice if you did us a favor in playing better teams.
Will
you're not even
you will,
are
gonna,
they
I'm
not playing
read
Georgia
Auburn's
this
out of conference schedule. I'm gonna read
right,
Auburn's out of conference schedule.
Let's go.
Georgia Southern.
Mercer. That's terrible. oh wow.
Louisiana Monroe.
Terrible.
Georgia Southern, Mercer, Louisiana Monroe.
Let's look at it this way. Georgia Southern is a tricky team to play, and I'm not saying that because I'm an Auburn guy, because that option they have beat a lot of teams they were not supposed to beat. Everybody else, we play Louisiana Monroe every other year anyway. But where is Mercer coming from? Are they in the SEC now? I mean, why is everybody playing
that? And Mercer is getting paid. They're a school known for their business program, so they know a deal when they see it. You know, when you get paid $1 million for a beatdown, you know, if you're going to get beat down anyway, why not get paid $1 million?
I can put together a couple of fellas. I can get a couple of guys together, and I'll take one, too.
I'm telling you, I'll take one. LSU's out of conference schedule. BYU, Chattanooga, and Syracuse. Troy.
That's,
they play Troy as well.
I mean, that's pretty. That's a whole lot better than everybody else.
That's not that bad. That's not
Yeah.
You know, that's not.
I mean,
that bad,
everybody
but,
wants
know, the
power
to
play. Everybody wants to be able to fine tune their team. I mean, that's just. That's
everyone wants a cupcake, a bite of a cupcake, and
you
want
to be able to play a team where you can get some guys in, play them, other than the spring game, play them and try to get some stuff going on. You know, that's what the fine, you know. But let's try to – you don't want to – the thing is, and this is defensive Alabama as well, when you play an SEC schedule, you get really beat up in these games. You need some games where you can recover. I get that. I do get it.
Yeah, you know,
I get it.
I get that. But, you know, I can see a lot of and that's another thing that's hot on Twitter right now. People are bagging on SEC schools for having – a week out of conference schedule, but I can go through every Power Five school. I've done it. Every
I wish
Power
Coach Boy
Five
was on tonight.
Has a cupcake, has at least two cupcakes on their schedule.
Do you have
every last one
in front of you? And I just want to hear
yes,
that.
Yes, I do.
So
I'll tell Coach Boy right here.
Because his argument is going to be this. SEC is not what it used to be. The quarterback play is terrible, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. But even your conference teams are awful. Now, SEC had probably two bad years. I don't know what we're going to have this year, but some of the rundown I'm going to give you guys in a minute on how many teams do I have tonight? One, two, three, four, five. The five teams, some of them are not what they were last year, which is not good for the SEC. Now, I hope on the other end, the rundown that we have, per se, like a Georgia, who should be much better this year, depending on whether the coach change is what everybody thinks it's going to be. And I think you'll touch on that later. Alabama's going to be Alabama, you know, teams like that. But the Tennessees, the who else was once upon a time good, the Floridas, those teams have not been what they once was or once were. So that's going to be a huge issue for SEC climbing that ladder. But I shouldn't say because they're still number one. But still being and holding on to the dominant force that they once were, I would say 5 years ago. I mean, you can come back closer than that. But let's just be safe and say 5 years ago. I mean, everybody was good.
You know,
but
man,
I can
look back to the SEC. I can look back through any conference, and I can see where there are up years and down years. You know, that's just how sports work. You have up years.
Mm-hmm.
You have years where you're up. You have years where you're down. You know, it's just that simple. You know, but everyone, like I said, everyone plays cupcakes, and everyone talks about. And I'm going to be honest. I will raise my hand and say it here. Last year was a terrible year for SEC by SEC standards. Last year was not a good year, especially when it came to the quarterback in a hole. However, there was some phenomenal quarterback play last year in the SEC. There was. There was some great quarterback play in the SEC last year. It was spotty, maybe not consistent, but there were times, you know, when there was some quarterback in the SEC who looked great. You know, one quarterback I'll tell you guys who I'm looking for big things from this year. Mississippi State starting quarterback. Huh.
Okay.
Hey man, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. I don't know if you watched the kid play last year. I don't know if you looked at his numbers. But if you haven't looked at the production of Mississippi State's quarterback last year, I think
you
want to
go ahead and talk about
it. You want to pay attention to. No, we're not.
Let's go ahead.
You know what? Why not? You know what, guys? We're gonna go. Man, let's get a little. I want to get a little music, man, because you know we're about to introduce you know a little something. You know we're gonna talk about the top three. You know on each team, the top three offensive threats on each team, man. You know. So this is going to be a very interesting conversation, man. And like we told y'all before, we give our opinion. We're cocky, yeah. We say stuff that don't make sense, yeah. But who doesn't? Who doesn't? Tell me one. Tell me one radio host who doesn't. So get used to it, man. We finna come on here and just kick ass and take names, man. This is how we roll. All right, let's go with it.
Who we got?
So, G.
Yep.
I'm going to let you kick it off, man, with the top. You know, G, I want to approach. I'm sorry. But this is our show, so we just do whatever the hell we want anyway. So I have to talk about Auburn before we move on to this. You know, we spent a little time on Alabama, so let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be fair. I'm going to talk about Auburn. Okay. I've read everywhere. I've watched videos. I watched spring game. And from all I'm hearing, Jared Jesus Stidham is supposedly Auburn's I'm serious, man. Jared Jesus Stidham is supposedly Auburn's savior. Did he look as good in the spring game? Yes, he did. Did he look good in the limited action when he played at Baylor? Yes, he did. He did look good. He looked great. However, we're going to have to wait for some proof. You're going to have to prove it. You're going to have to prove it. I said this at the end of last season. I said, you know, if Gus Malzahn doesn't name Jared Stidham the starting quarterback after the spring, then, you know, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something is wrong.
I don't think that would be
White
the issue.
And when Sean White was healthy, I'll take you back to the Arkansas game, a few games, Sean White looked all pro. So as of right now, the Auburn Nation is jumping up and down. Everyone's happy for a quarterback that doesn't have as good a resume as Sean White. Sean White currently has a better resume than Jared Stidham. I said it. He has a better body of work than Jared Stidham. I said it. That's it. If this guy lit it up and was so much better than Sean White, why wasn't he named the starter?
Well, let's say this. Sean White didn't really compete in the spring.
Okay.
Because of his arm situation.
We know who Sean White is. We saw
okay.
Sean White.
Well,
play
I guess
best
I, well,
game
let me
against
let
Arkansas.
Me play devil's advocate. Or let me just play like I have some sense with the questioning. He's better than Sean White. Ding ding ding
okay.
ding 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 ding.
Okay.
It, he's
and
way
I,
better.
I'm not arguing that, but what? Proof
and I'm
do
sure
you
agree.
Better,
I'm sure you
Sean
agree.
White.
The thing that where you
what
can't go off stats, and that's you know how I am when it comes to stats. I'm looking at his
I'm not
body
talking
for
about
on
stats.
Just during.
I'm not talking
let's just
about
go
statistics.
Off the spring game.
I'm talking about playing football.
Let's look at it.
I'm talking about playing football.
I wish we had, if we could, and we will have these capabilities by the end of this season. I'm not going to say this show. By the end of this broadcasting season, we would definitely have, we can go back and look at some video as we talk.
Well,
so I'm going to say this.
I'll be putting up some videos tomorrow, but go ahead.
During the spring game.
Go ahead, dude.
Give you one play to be exact. When the ball was fumbled and Jared Stidman recovered the ball and ran the ball to the end zone for a touchdown, showed instinct that we did not have last year at that position. We had straight running backs at that position last year with JF3 at the quarterback position. But because when you have guys like that in the game, and this is coaching and this is football, JF3 was never a threat to throw the ball. That's why running the ball never worked. Now, when you have a guy like Jared Stidman in the game, not only is he accurate, he throws the ball down the field. He also, I'm not saying he's elusive, but he can run the ball. He can run the ball.
Okay.
So that's where we have a difference.
What did you just say about him? You said he's accurate.
He
can throw the ball. He can throw the ball with accuracy, and he's also a threat to run, right?
Right.
You wouldn't say the same thing about Sean White?
Hold on, let me stop you because I know where you're going. I know where you're going with this one. He can throw the ball down the field, not just within 20 yards, accurately.
Now, he definitely has a better long ball than Sean White. However, so did JF3.
But he did not have both.
All I'm saying is,
he did not have both.
What I'm saying. All I'm saying is, Auburn fans, to the Auburn Nation, let him prove it first. Let him prove it first. Because what I can guarantee you, I can guarantee that Jared Stidham has never seen a defensive line like he's going to see in the second week against Clemson. Never.
Well,
never in his life.
Let me ask you this question. Who do you think will be our third string quarterback this year? I think it'll be Sean White.
You know what, man? Honestly, I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. I think I like.
Now you were just arguing
the fact that he possibly might be
the starter. I'm arguing that he might be third string quarterback this year. That's my argument. I have no
Malik Willis. Malik Willis will be third string. He will be third string. Sean White has a resume. When healthy, Sean White. I mean, he played some great games.
Well, let's look at it like this. Now, I guess I'm trying to paint this picture because I could say something different by looking at both of them play full strength. Malik Willis versus Sean White. You're telling me you're going to go off resume versus talent.
Definitely. I'm going to go off what I know. And what I know is that Sean White has been successful in SEC games. He's been successful when healthy. He's been pretty good when healthy. Now, is he fragile? Yes, he's fragile. He's very fragile.
What's the tale of the tape on these guys? What is Stidman's size versus Sean White? What's their
Stidman's a big boy, man. Stidman's a big boy. I think Stidman's 6'4". He's either 6'3" or 6'4". I think he weighs 217. He's a big body, and he has Stidham done well. He done great in the spring game. He looked good. He looked good in the spring
game. Sean White's
like
5'8", 5'8", 160, something like that.
I think Sean White is actually like 6'1", man. You know, he just looks like a shrimp when he's next to his offensive line. You know, speaking of shrimp, like small cats, I'm not going to ruin that, guys, but I was about to talk about Auburn's receiver, Will Hastings. he's Jared Stidham's favorite target. He's a safety target. I've heard several reports. I've heard players
hurt,
say that.
You know,
I've heard
second string Albie.
You know what?
You know that, right? If Albie gets hurt during the game, Will Hastings will have to be Albie. He's the mascot too.
Will Hastings right now. Will Hastings is all they're really looking for Hastings to do big things, man. And I'll tell you,
and he very well could. He can. It's not
that
if you know football, it's very easy for him to make that happen because he's one of those guys that can find a hole in the coverage every time and get open. He's that smart. He's just like one of those.
The
Patriots just won the Super Bowl.
I heard that last year. I heard that last year, and I saw it some in the spring game last year, and I'm hearing that this year, and I saw it in the spring game some this year. So until
which point?
I'm impressed by your 40 time. I'm impressed by the drills that you do. I'm impressed. However, have you looked at Auburn's receiving class last year? I know that you have.
Well, my favorite receiver coming in this year, and our deep threat. Besides Kyle Davis, who didn't play in the spring game, who is back on campus. They're not saying he's back on the field yet, but he's back on campus. That was the report as of today. But I'm looking at Craig Myers as to be our long threat. He's a man.
Oh, yeah.
Among boys. Yeah. I saw a lot during the spring game.
Now,
I saw actually – go ahead.
Now, I'm gonna get with you on that right there because that's the type of dominance that says to me, okay, now this kid is ready. This kid is ready. That's the type of dominance. Like what Nate Craig Myers did, like some of those balls that he grabbed were pretty impressive. And I mean they were pretty doggone impressive, man. And he looked like a monster out there. So I normally don't give a lot of credit for spring game. I normally don't because it's a spring game, man. It's a spring game. Nothing to lose. It's a practice. But he did show some things, and you know we're just gonna have to see, man. Well, G Willis, I know you worked hard on
That was one of my teams. That was one of my teams. So let's stick with him.
Okay, let's go ahead.
JF3 was quarterback last year. They have him at receiver this year. They're saying he is, which we do this every year. We got Jason Smith last year. This year we have JF3, even though Jason Smith never really played quarterback at Auburn. He was their quarterback who never developed, and I don't know if he's even still – is he still there?
Yes.
You
he's
know.
There, and he's decent. He's playing behind Will Hastings.
Wow. I like the kid. But
he's playing behind Will, but
– they're saying that JF3 is showing enormous talent once he catches the ball. Enormous talent. They say he is a great runner. But we knew that.
All right.
Go ahead. Let me hear your take on that.
Any youngins listening to the show tonight, I'm going to ask for earmuffs because I'm going to call bullshit. If they say he's great when he catches the ball, that means that he's
great when
he
catches the ball.
I'm just going to tell you what that means. If they say that he's great when he catches the ball,
you got receivers. They even have a stat now that says after the catch. You can say hit, all this after the catch. You know, that is a stat now. So I'm going to call BS on
that.
They
call them yet.
I'm going to.
The YAC, yards after the catch. But I'm just saying, if they say when he catches the ball.
I'm going to sound like Bonzo on this one. I'm hoping as a fan that he does great. I'm hoping as a fan.
Okay.
I'm hoping
that's
as a fan.
That's fine.
Now,
that's,
I'm going to say
fine.
This to start the controversy. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and start it out for the year. I love the kid. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know him, but I don't know him at all. Kerryon Johnson. I think he would be a junior this year.
Yes, he will.
I really think I wish him well, but there is a spot for you on the other side of the ball. I think safety has your name all over it, even though you were close to being a 1,000-yard rusher. And people question it all the time. Well, how can you say that? And the guy almost ran for 1,000 yards. He's not instinctive. He is not. He is a great athlete, definitely. He's a physical player.
I'll say this, and I agree with you last year when you talked about this. He doesn't, to my personal opinion, I don't think he doesn't necessarily look natural at the running back position. He just doesn't look natural, but he's so athletic that
he is
an athlete. He is a superior athlete. He's so athletic. He doesn't look natural hitting the holes, but he does get it done. He does get it done, man. And, you know, after – I think one thing that he benefits from, after Cameron Petway runs into you about six times, it's kind of – after you feel that thunder about five or six times, when the lightning comes, sometimes you might not necessarily catch it.
Whoa. Where's the lightning coming from?
Man, Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson has some speed. He actually has some burners, man.
Oh my gosh.
He has some burners. Check it out.
I mean, I know the guy ain't slow. Let's say that. I know he's
not
slow.
I'm not talking about 40 time. Just go.
He's talking about football
games,
speed.
Man.
I get it.
I'm talking about football speed.
I don't see it.
He gets
I
to the edge.
I mean, he outran a couple guys.
I just would rather see him on the other side of the ball. The subject we're talking about tonight, man, we're going to talk about the top three offensive options for some of the schools. So let me give you a little rundown on that. I got a couple teams. Go ahead. We always start out with Auburn and Alabama. So we're going to keep doing what we always do. Y'all thought I was going to change? Man, I ain't changing. Shiz. Shiz. I said shiz, so I didn't have to say earmuffs. Okay, let's go ahead. Since we're here, give me Auburn, in your opinion, Auburn's top three offensive options, and I'll give you mine.
Go ahead. Auburn's top three options, we have, of course, Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. Number one running back, Petway, of course. And I'm going with Craig Myers at receiver. On defense, I'm thinking overall defensive player of the year will probably be Trey Williams at the linebacker position.
Okay.
Now, 57, Deshaun Davis did a great job. I think this is my opinion, and I love Deshaun. I think he is the heart of the defense, but I think this is Trey Williams' year to make it happen.
Okay.
What you got?
Well, I'm on. You know what, man? I think you had very, very solid picks, man, on both sides of the ball. But, you know, I'm gonna throw in some sleepers, man. One at Auburn, man. One sleeper at Auburn. This new tight end. You know, they didn't show a lot in the spring game. But I've heard some inside info that we'll see quite a few passes from the tight end position. Salvador Canelli,
yep.
Whatever his name is,
right.
Sal. I just call him Sal. You're gonna be Sal tonight, dog. You're gonna be Sal. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm just not gonna say that entire name. I'm not doing it. Okay. Well, Sal. I think Sal's gonna be really. He's a sleeper. He's a sleeper, man. The kid looks good. I've watched a lot of tape on him, and man, I don't like to make comparisons. But I just do kind of whatever the I want to do anyway. So look, they're going to use him a lot like Evan Engram was used at Ole Miss last year. You know, you would see him in at the tight end, some traditional tight end. But they're also going to line him up actually at wideout quite a bit, and we haven't seen that from Auburn in the last, I mean, they've only thrown like four passes to the tight end in the last like 2 years. Like, seriously, I'm not exaggerating either. Like, I think there's only been four tight end passes. There were two tight end passes last year. Both of them went for touchdowns. That's how rare Auburn uses the tight end. You know, so I think with this guy coming into the picture, he's faster. He's really lean. He's really tall. And he has really, really good hands. So, you'll see Auburn passing the ball a lot to him. And due to them not traditionally using the tight end, I think he'll get some shine, especially early in the season. Early in the season, you'll see him utilized quite a bit. And As far as the running back goes, you know, man, I really want to go with a freshman right here, man. You know, Cameron, what's the other kid left? Cameron Martin. It seems like he had a bad case of fumbleitis and the pass drops he's in the spring game. I'm not sure if he's gotten that corrected, but I can tell you this. When Devin Barrett gets on campus, to keep your spot, you're going to have to earn it. He and Cameron Martin are really, really similar running backs. They're really similar running backs, and I think Devin Barrett might have better hands. If he has better hands, that may put him over the top.
And I'm going to say this as a disclaimer. Most of the analysts said he has regressed from last year so far. He's a little bit bigger than he was, and he's just not the back that he once was when he got on campus. Now, he could definitely change that around by fall. I've never really been impressed with him. I thought he was better than putting Kerryon in. That's just me being G. Willis. But
yes, it is.
We need a change of pack. I was definitely hurt when Stan Truitt graduated. Not when he graduated. I'm not going to say that. When he left after graduation, put it that way. Congratulations on graduating, Stanton. He's at University of North Carolina now. And I was, by watching some of his runs last year, which he was not utilized towards the end of the year, he hit the hole. He definitely hit the hole. He was not all the way instinctive as a running back, but, you know, on some of the reverses where he carried the ball as a running back, he was definitely faster than most and hit the hole like we hadn't seen the hole been hit the entire year.
Well, I kind of disagree. I like Stan at times, but I didn't think that he was. You know, this is my opinion. I didn't think he was as complete as I didn't feel like he was as complete as Kerryon Johnson. Did he look more natural in the position? Man, I actually kind of like Malik. Man, I like Malik Miller. He's a big boy,
a little bit of speed,
but I like him. Man, you know what, man? We keep getting off the topic, man.
Okay.
I know we just do whatever the hell we want to do. But, and that's what's cool about this show. That's what's cool. We talk football. That's how we do, man. If we get off on topic and you get pissed off, just send us a tweet or a text and let us know, you know, if we need to stick to the subject. And we may.
I did not take my medicine today, SEC fans. I do apologize. I may be right tomorrow. Who knows? Who cares?
It's fine. Let's change gears.
Let's go to another team.
The defensive side of the ball for Auburn too.
Okay, let's get that.
I think
who?
Yeah, Paul James. I think Paul James is a sleeper. Paul James, the defensive end. I think he'll be someone who comes on real, real heavy this year. In fact, I'll say it. I picked Paul James to lead Auburn in sacks this year. Paul James will lead the team in sacks and quarterback hurries. I feel comfortable saying that. Paul James will lead Auburn in sacks, quarterback hurries. And I'll tell you another interesting one, man. And it's so interesting. Have you read this, G? But Byron Coward, since he's moved to the defensive tackle position, there are some NFL analysts who have him as possibly a top 20 pick. I don't get that.
Yeah,
I heard through the grapevine
that Billy was looking for you.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But it's out there.
Hey.
They're saying, it's out there. Now,
let's bounce and
show out.
How much time we got left in this show?
Man, we have 35 minutes left of the show. You can move on.
Let me do a quick rundown. I got a couple of outlines I want to go over. Tennessee. Tennessee is a team that most people in the state hate because of most people in the state of Alabama. That's the state we're speaking of, by the way. Really, some of them hate Tennessee more than they hate Auburn, which is kind of crazy. But they have a quarterback battle going on. Quentin Dormady and Jared.
You say who?
I know I'm going to say
his
name. Quentin.
Oh, we got somebody calling in.
That's probably Billy.
This number looks very familiar.
That's probably Billy Bad.
Hey, Billy.
What's up,
hey,
brother?
Billy.
What's up, brother?
What's up, Billy Bad? What's up with you, man?
You know, he didn't get out of work release until a little bit later.
You,
I forgot to tell you that.
Just happened to get the house.
Oh, man.
Just happened to
get
the house.
We all work. We all work.
Hey, I was giving my outline on Tennessee, Billy, so just jump on in.
You name that quarterback. Give me your three
the thing about the top three in some of these teams, other than Alabama and Auburn, and I say Georgia, they definitely don't have a lock on who's going to be starting. Again, Quentin Dormady, he was 10-for-10 in the spring game, 120 yards.
Cool.
And then you have Jared Garantino, and I'm sure I messed his name up. He was 4-for-5. He was actually supposed to be the heir apparent to Josh Dobbs, but he has not shown up so far. So does Quentin Cat, maybe the quarterback. They have a running back named John Kelly, who's supposed to be it this year. Receiver named Josh Malone. And on defense, they have Darren Kirkland. And their big thing this year is they have more depth, but their concern is they have nothing on pass defense. Nothing. So they lost a lot of – matter of fact, Barnett, when he left, the other two guys behind him also left. So their defense is not what go ahead. I can hear you.
G, let me ask you something. Since you did your research on Tennessee, is anybody talking about the 13 players that left since?
No, that I didn't read about the controversy because, you know, again, I don't like Tennessee either. But I was just trying to read the facts about who was coming back and who was going to be there. The controversy I didn't get into.
Because
their second-string quarterback transferred.
If those kids are still there, I think Tennessee is battling in the East, you know.
That's not the facts. The facts right now is their second-string quarterback, if not third, he may have been third. He left last week or about 2 weeks ago. I mean, they're having a lot of issues, man. A lot of issues. I blame it again, like I've always said. Let's rewind the tape to last season. Butch Davis. Those three guys all need to leave.
Hey, look, He lived up to his promise. He told Josh Dobbs, them, that recruiting class, that they would get rings if they came to Tennessee. And he got them two participation rings before they left there.
What?
I think it's funny.
They called champion rings. He bought the one class champion rings, and he bought another ring for him. You can go look that up.
I think it's so funny that you call him Butch Davis. I think it's so funny that you call him Butch Davis. You know, he's Butch Jones. But I think it's so funny that you call him
Butch Davis.
Because you know what happened to Butch Davis? You know what happened to Butch Davis?
He was actually the coach at North Carolina. I do know that.
Yeah.
But I don't like him that
fired.
Much. I like Butch Davis better than I like Butch Jones.
So I think he may put – it won't surprise me if he pulls a Butch Davis this year. It won't surprise me if he pulls up with David. It won't surprise me at all.
So,
but
I will add this to the equation. Uh-huh. They did pick up this week a big four-star quarterback commit for next year, of course. Adrian Martinez out of Fresno, California. Big pickup. But, again, that's two years off. So I don't think he'll be there to see Butch Davis or Butch Jones.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Yeah.
that is now that right there is comedy gold. Hey, y'all got to watch G Willis because he be sneaking. He'll sneak a punch in on somebody and think it's okay. Y'all call him out because he'll sneak one in. You can't tell me. I know for a fact he knew that man's name was Butch Jones. I know he did. But
my bad.
I commend you for throwing him under the bus smoothly. I like it, dude. I like it.
Let's move on to Arkansas.
You walked off and punched him in the back of the head. I like it.
And I'm doing it this format, guys, because a lot of people listening to this podcast tonight or blog talk are not really in touch with who is coming to some of these teams. Because I know I didn't know. I had to do some research on some of these teams. Now, we all know when we talk about Arkansas, that's our new subject, Austin Allen. We all know his name. So he's number one when it comes to the big three for Arkansas. But let's keep in mind, their running back, if you're an SEC fan, Riley Williams did retire a month ago.
Yeah.
Big deal. That was a big deal.
But here's my thing with Arkansas. 2 years ago, I think that was the best team ever assembled at Arkansas. They had a dual running threat. They had his brother.
Wait.
Passing the ball.
Hey, you remember that guy named Derek McFadden?
They had the
I was about to say. Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that one.
Huh?
But I do. I do think that
I
team
agree with
was
that.
Really good, Billy. I agree that the team
they
had
were,
was
they,
good. I agree.
They're better than they are now.
I agree. In fact, man, I'm going to go ahead and call it. Would either of you
call
be
it.
Shocked if Bo Pelini actually – upgraded in the SEC? Would anyone be shocked?
I think this is his last year.
In the SEC?
No.
So you think Arkansas?
No.
You think Arkansas fired? Like, is there
this
an Arkansas
is where Billy
fire
is.
Their coach?
This is the thing. This is what I think Billy's missing. And I'm going to step on your toes for a minute. You live in the state of Alabama. You're accustomed to winning and being a part of some type of, you know, winning philosophy. Arkansas, okay? Arkansas hadn't been great since McFadden or what was the other running back they had besides McFadden? I mean, that's it. I mean, they have not – the guy
they
that
had,
went to Cowboys, the other little guy.
Yeah, they had
– who was hell, too.
And,
I think they played
who,
together. They played together.
Yeah, they did.
They had another two running backs.
You know, their offensive coordinator was Gus Malzahn. That's when the Wildcat was born.
Yeah. Yep.
That's when the Wildcat.
Yep.
I remember that. They were.
But let me tell you this.
They're not that going team, to upgrade. What are they upgrading to?
That team 2 years ago was just as talented as the team you're talking about.
Well, let's rewind the tape to Tennessee. Tennessee has more 4 and 5 stars and three – well, I shouldn't say 5 stars. They have some of the better picks than anybody. Well,
they did,
but let's talk. But you know why? Because of Butch Jones.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Call him Butch Davis. Hey, call him
Butch Davis.
Butch Davis.
Yeah.
Hey,
the guy cannot – oh, I'm going to call him Butch Davis, Butch Davis to his face. If I can meet him at SEC –
Hey, just call him Butch. Just
I said, I have a question for Butch Davis.
SEC
media day. Everybody can see everybody looking around like, Butch Davis
right
isn't here.
That's a dare.
I said, well, you're going to be Butch Davis today, monkey. You're going to be Butch Davis today. But anyway, I see what you're saying. But my thing is, you can look at the tape at Tennessee, and you can say the same thing. I mean, these guys have a lot of players on the teams. They're not coached. I think Belima does a better job of coaching than the guy in Tennessee.
Well, you know, I'm gonna kind of get off topic
too.
A little bit.
I think he does too.
I'm gonna get off topic.
The largest line in college and pros, and you put all five of them boys in the league too. By the way, that offensive line, and with Alex Collins, the running back. And the other one, you had 2,000-yard rushes,
yep,
and you had Allen's brother quarterbacking. You had Allen's brother quarterbacking.
Y'all talking about something really, really great right now. And I don't think a lot of people realize this, and I'm glad y'all brought it up. But that offensive line wasn't necessarily Brett, like, he wasn't the mastermind behind that. I don't think he was the mastermind behind that.
Oh,
because last year, after that offensive line coach left, he's actually at Georgia now. If you look at the type of offensive lineman that Georgia recruited last year, Georgia recruited a month. Like, put your earmuffs on, any young listening, because I'm going to say it. But, man, Georgia has recruited a monster-ass offensive line. I mean, a massive offensive line.
Did you curse?
A massive offensive line. And they have that the same coach, the offensive line coach, he hired Kirby Smart, which I think is, like, the smartest thing that he's done since he's been to Georgia, in my opinion, was he hired Arkansas's offensive line coach. He hired Arkansas's offensive line coach, and this guy's been able to recruit these massive offensive linemen. And we all know the type running back Georgia traditionally produces. So,
but the jury's still out on them cats, so I can't agree or disagree with them.
The jury's still out, but I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
I'm saying this. If Georgia, the type offensive line that they're recruiting is the same type offensive line that from I've heard that from a couple players, a couple coaches that's what he wants to mimic when it comes to his offensive line. Kirby Smart is trying to build like the program like Bama had a couple
that
years
ain't
ago.
That ain't working no more.
The traditional pro style offense.
He can't coach like that.
Game.
He showed that last year.
With the killer
he can't coach
running
like
game.
That. I mean, hey, LSU showed you that. And they had coach was an offensive lineman, period, coach. All his offensive linemen is in the league, too. I'm talking about Les. And if everybody can line up to stop that, you got to have a balance, man. You can't. But Georgia does have the quarterback talent to have
exactly.
Both ways.
And they have some good receivers at Georgia as well.
They do. Including
they do.
Our buddy that was on the show last year.
Yeah, Sean Simmons. Hey, shout out to Sean Simmons.
Yeah.
Shout out. Hey, come do us another interview.
I saw him in the A-Day game.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, he did.
He looked good. That was so disrespectful. That was so disrespectful, Billy.
Yeah, it was.
Calling Georgia.
You talking about the one
calling
that was
Georgia
in the
I was about to say
A-Day
that he's transferring.
Hey,
I didn't know anything about
it. Hey, y'all boys being slick tonight. Y'all slick this. Hey, look.
Oh.
Y'all slick this, man. Slick this in Georgia.
What do they call it?
It's
like
the
red and black game.
They call
what is
it
called,
game.
Really?
It's the G.
Yeah, let's
the
not
G-A.
Talk about that. That sounds terrible. If my name starts with a G, I don't even want to hear that. That sounds terrible.
I just want to know how I'm slick dissing, man. I'm giving props where props are due.
You call it A-Day game, and it's called
G-Day,
G-Day, man.
Well, man, come on, man. Whatever it's called. Red and black,
yeah,
whatever.
Man. Oh, hey,
well,
y'all,
I think
go back
cool
to Arkansas.
Deal.
Let's finish up.
I was
let's finish up Arkansas.
You for throwing them under the bus, Billy.
Yeah,
I
was too. He defended them.
No, I wasn't
now,
throwing
them. Now, Billy, now Billy's going to be a saint tonight. You know what? Let's
what
go ahead
G-Dog,
and get Billy riled up. Billy.
What a G-Dog game. How about that?
Well, let me ask
you.
Hey,
what Billy.
We got
nope.
tonight, so I know what Billy is.
What
liquor we got sponsored tonight?
Oh,
the what now?
What liquor are we sponsoring tonight?
Coconuts and rock.
Coconut. Hey, Bill. I tell you what we were talking about earlier. You missed this conversation, man. But I can't. There's no way we can finish this show without letting you talk about it, man. give us the top three on Alabama's offense. You know, the top three offensive threats and the top three defensive threats for Bama.
Oh,
we hadn't
man.
Touched on Bama yet. We didn't go to Bama yet.
But no, we did not. I'm just I want Billy to.
Let's keep on going the way the program was going. Then I'll be able to research that and do it later. Really
okay. Well, let me finish up Arkansas real quick, and then we'll come back to Billy. They have again because of the departure of Riley Williams. They're gonna try to do or try to find a top running back out of. D. Whaley, he's a sophomore, and a T. Hammonds, I think I wrote it in my handwriting,
And they're both sophomores. And receivers, they have Jarrett Cornelius. I'm probably reading that wrong. Senior. And a Jonathan Vance Jr. But the good news on defense, they do have a lineman. Well, I think he's a lineman. He's a defensive end. He's on the watch list for the Benderick Award, and that's Dietrich Wise Jr., who is a pretty big name. He was he did pretty well last year. I mean, they don't have many standouts, but he was one of their standouts on defense because I think they lost their line that they had with most of their line that their edge play. So Arkansas is, I think, again, I think they will be willed, my opinion, by their quarterback play. Whatever he does will get them into the whatever games they play, like a Texas A&M, because they won't. I don't think they will compete against a team like an Alabama or something like that. Do they play Alabama this year? Because Alabama hadn't played anybody this year.
Yeah, Arkansas is in the area. They play Alabama every year, man.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Now we did touch on Mississippi State. We're shifting gears again. I'm going to give you some of the names out of that as well. We mostly just talked about Nick Fitzgerald. They were having some issues going into the spring about who their second quarterback was going to be. They had an early enrollee. Keaton Thompson. Anybody familiar with that name? Keaton Thompson. He did really well during the spring. Okay. So he did really, really well. Now, again, they have a lot of new coordinators at Mississippi State, so not really knowing what's going to happen this year. They're going to be running back by committee.
Why are we talking about the second string quarterback from Mississippi State?
Because all you want to talk about is first string quarterback. What if he gets hurt? Let's just say that.
I don't want to talk
so if he
about
gets
I'm
hurt
sorry.
Because the only
I,
thing
I
you
just,
talked about
I've never,
with Mississippi State is the quarterback.
In my whole career of MCC football, I've never heard anyone talk about the second string quarterback at Mississippi.
What if he gets hurt? What if he gets hurt? Because they don't have anything.
Then we'll meet the guy.
Now
then we'll
do
meet
you remember him. when Zach was there, Zach Prescott, do you remember who started before him?
Nope.
I can't remember his name, but I remember him being really good.
That means he was
not
he beat
honorable.
That means
wow.
He's not memorable.
It's Mississippi State, by God. But anyway, running back by committee. They have a pretty good receiver, Donald Gray, coming back in. He has did really well last year. He's their main receiver. But defense is going to be another question mark for Mississippi State next year. They're really depending on an incoming true freshman, four-star Willie Gray. And he's out of Starkville. And they have that's really, really – I mean, they're depending on guys in JUCOs. And they have a guy, Chauncey Rivers. He was dismissed from from Georgia. And they have another one from Michigan State, Montez Sweat. And they say he's going to play the middle.
Know.
And he sticks
I said we do know that they got a freshman safety that will knock your block off. Because that's why they canceled the doggone spring game. I'm not going to call it the Bulldog game or the Red game or whatever y'all call it. We do know they got a safety that will knock your head off.
Just call it
the
A-Day game like you did last.
He's a JUCO transfer. Yeah, he was a JUCO transfer. But as far as Mississippi State goes, man, the only thing that I like their quarterback. I do. I like Fitzgerald a lot. But I think the addition of didn't they add Todd Grantham as a defensive coordinator?
I wrote it down somewhere. I don't know.
I don't think
it really matters.
I'm pretty sure they have Todd Grantham. And the thing that's interesting about that is whenever he, you know, agreed to be defensive coordinator, that's when Mississippi State got a few JUCOs in, like a
they
few JUCOs on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
So. It wouldn't shock me if their defense took a step up. And if Mississippi State's defense takes a step up, and, man, I like Fitzgerald.
I know what Mississippi State
I like
made
him a
of.
Lot, man. And I think
when they come to
him
Mobile.
Surrounded by the right players could be something special. But I'm just not sure if Mississippi State has those players. I'm just going to be honest.
They don't.
They have a coach. They have a good coach. I like it. I like
them
all. I like Mullen a lot.
I like him too.
I'm not sure if Fitzgerald has the tools. I can say this with confidence.
I'll see when they come to the field when they play USA.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. USA.
What was your quarterback then, Dylan? What was your quarterback? Where was Fitzgerald in that game?
Getting
last
stuck.
Where my quarterback?
I'm
talking to Billy.
Fitzgerald was getting stuck.
Yeah, he was getting stuck, man.
They were wearing him out, man. Now they were wearing
My last team
go
before
ahead.
You guys take over is the LSU Bengal Tigers. Louisiana State University. Actually, everybody knows they have not a lot of issues, but a couple of hot topics going on campus. Danny Etling in the spring game did not play well at all. Matter of fact, a lot of little publications I was going through, and I think I even watched the game. They talked about Miles Brennan, who hadn't even touched campus yet. They talked about him more than they did Dan Etling, who was in the game.
That's
not good. So we don't know who the quarterback is going to be at this point. They do actually expect Danny Etling to improve because of the new offense coordinator there at LSU. So with time work with him this summer, I do think there will be a significant improvement. And that's my observation when it comes to watching that spring game. Now, one thing that you guys may have missed if you didn't watch the game is that Leonard Fournette's brother did score a touchdown in that game. Well, matter of fact, it was the only touchdown for his – I think he was on the purple squad. He scored the only touchdown for them, and then the other team scored 23 unanswered points. But we all know that Geist is going to be carrying the load of that team. Defense, we have Aiden Key coming back, who should be pretty dominant this year.
Art Key's actually off campus right now.
I said Aiden. I can't read my own writing.
Aiden Key is actually on vacation right now due to some I think he got in some trouble. He got in some trouble, and so he's not back on campus yet. Reports say he should be coming back, but we all know how that works.
And they also got a transfer this week. They got a transfer from Texas Tech, Jonathan Giles.
Big time. Only if someone could throw him the ball.
what's his name? Jalen Hurts. I guess he could transfer to LSU.
Jalen Hurts will not be benched, man. After really looking at that schedule, Jalen Hurts would not be benched, man. I'm sorry. I don't see him benched, especially if he manages to win that Florida State game. I don't know. I'll say this. If Clemson and Alabama were to play again right now with the same team, Alabama would still be favored.
The key word you said was favor.
I can't guarantee a win. But I can tell you this.
I can tell you this. That the last two times Alabama lost in a playoff or a championship game, there have been an alpha dog among dogs that beat them. And they go on to shine at a high level, at the highest level.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that, but what I'm saying is this. Watson
would do the same exact thing at the pro level that he did then, because I'm going to tell you this, not only in the college level, but at the pro level, the hits that he took, most pros would have tapped out of that game. He did not.
Hey,
he wanted.
If you go through my tweets, one thing you'll see is that one question I was asking is, what did Cam Newton do that Deshaun Watson didn't do? Well, and that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. I think Deshaun Watson is going to be a good NFL quarterback. It wouldn't shock me if he becomes a incredible NFL quarterback. Wouldn't shock me at all. In fact, I would be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah, I would
I think it's going to work out
with
the
that.
Kid.
Because
of
his heart.
Kid,
I think his heart will outweigh anything else.
Exactly.
But
I'm just saying, like, Jalen Hurts, man.
That. You cannot coach that.
You know, you cannot. And I feel the same way about Hurts. Hurts has that type of heart, man. Did y'all not?
But he can't hit a ball.
It was a game-winning drive.
He can't hit a ball.
He led Alabama on a game-winning drive in the championship game on the biggest stage of college football.
Let me ask you a question. Stop right there. If you were a GM, president, owner of a NFL football team,
we are
Jalen
not
Hurts
talking
is available
about
in the draft.
NFL football. We're not talking about
I'm
NFL
asking
football. We're talking about college football.
That was the question I asked. Okay. It's okay.
We're talking
about
college football.
You don't want to answer that question.
You want me to answer it?
Would
I pick Jalen Hurts right now? I would pick Jalen Hurts. I would pick Jalen Hurts over Talk.
Let me ask him this.
I would pick him over a Hawaiian kid right now.
I'm listening to Billy. Go ahead.
Let me ask him this. So if Bo Scarborough don't get hurt, do we still need Jalen Hurts?
You said Bo Scarborough? Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Now, and this is from a football perspective. The offense runs more efficiently. Now, you're a stat guy. When you have a quarterback who can pass the ball, throw the ball efficiently and complete the offense. Again, we talked about last year. Now, I didn't see much improvement in his throwing in the spring game, even though he did complete some passes. He did the same early in the year. Okay, but he cannot consistently do that throughout the year, which takes out most of your better parts and powerful parts of the offense, which is your receivers. You have now, how many top receivers does Alabama have on the offense right now? Three? You got three, awesome guys.
Only one proven. I'll say this, man. Hurts, in my opinion, is legit. The biggest growth you see in football. Growth you see in football, you can go look back at stats. You can go look at your favorite football player. You can go look at what you want. But the biggest growth in football comes between your first year actually playing and the second year. So he was throwing. We forget this kid is a freshman, a true freshman last year. A lot of people forget that. So I think it
would
shock me if he actually came out a lot better. He's going to be better this year. I guarantee he's going to be a better quarterback this year than he was last year.
So what you're telling me, we should see some Johnny Manziel this year. Since Johnny Manziel.
Now, I don't know why.
I'm going to tell you this. Now, what's going to mask the fact that he's definitely not throwing the ball better, but the offense is more wide open. So he's going to look like he's better, but he's not. He's definitely not going to be better.
Oh.
He's going to have more interceptions this year. He's definitely going to have more interceptions. If they open that ball up.
All right,
year,
G, wait, G. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think he becomes the worst? Why do you think he takes a step back instead of a step forward?
For one, you got a new offense coordinator. For two, if they do what they say they're going to do, and that's throw the ball, that's the one thing he cannot do efficiently. If you look at some of his stats, you did say he would be better. If you look at some of his stats, and you're a stat guy, go back and look at the stats. The guy was like 8 for 20-something in one game, 22.
Shit, damn, 23, but. Or 47.
Tell me what game
that
was. I want to see it.
Go to the championship game.
He's
going to
be
like 23
quarterback.
47.
It was either.
I think he's going to be a better quarterback this year. And if he's a better quarterback this year.
Like I say, the offensive coordinator would mask it.
I think
he'd
be a better quarterback.
I'm going to let y'all know we only have 5 minutes left.
For the simple fact that, hell, the coordinator made Garoppolo look good at New England. I think he'll be a better quarterback this year than he was last year.
I think it will look
better
but he won't be a better quarterback.
Year, If he's a better quarterback this year than he was last year, I mean, theoretically, they should win the championship.
Oh, my goodness. Well, y'all kill me.
What about defense?
Y'all kill me.
I'm just putting stats out there. I just can't. I'm sorry. I just
you
can't
put stats out there. Stats are going to get you hurt, man. I've been trying to tell you that all year. You
stats is all you can rely on, Jack.
Hey, let me ask
that's
you.
That's what's reliable.
Let me ask you two guys. Did you see what I did with my little nephew at Florida State when he tested the thing? He saying that him and the other cornerback the best in the nation. I ride with this guy anytime. And I said, okay, I'm going to keep the stats on the receiving corps for Florida State and Alabama. He deleted his tweets. I said,
I saw that somebody, because you did do something like that, and everything was deleted. I didn't know what it was.
That was Derwin. That was Derwin James at Florida State. Mm. I said, shots fired. Then I retweeted and said, I'm going to keep the stats of the Alabama receiving corps versus the Florida State receiving corps. Next thing I knew, everything was deleted.
Well, Derwin James is a monster, man. Derwin James is a monster.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. He is really a monster. He's a top five pick. You know what? Guys, we only have 3 minutes left in the show. But you know what? I got to address something. And I know this is short, so we're going to have to be fast with it. Leonard Fournette, in a sense, laid out all last year, but still went pretty high in the draft. $40 million legs. I said it the whole year. I had nothing against it. I understand someone protecting their investment. You know, slap me, talk about me. Well, don't slap me because I ain't that type guy. You don't want that. But, you know, I'm just saying that. You know, Leonard Fournette, what he done last year, a lot of people felt like it would affect his draft status. Going forward, what do you guys expect this season for players that already know they're going to the NFL?
Give me one example.
Do you expect to see more players laying out?
Give me one example that they had the same caliber that he did last year.
Let's see who has. Let's see some running backs.
Same potential.
You know what?
Same potential.
Both Scarborough.
No, let's talk about Sam Darnold. Right now, Sam Darnold, USC's quarterback, everybody suspects that he's going to be number one draft pick. So if he loses the first two games and knows it's not going to be a national championship, if he lays out, does it affect him at all? Allegedly, no.
Draft quarterback.
Leonard Fournette, I'm going to bring something up to y'all. Leonard Fournette laid out. He laid out in the game. Leonard Fournette laid out a few games last year, protecting his investment. But Reuben Foster has not a positive test, but a dilute drug test.
Cloudy piss.
I'm sorry.
You know, some more had that.
I disagree with the NFL on that. I disagree with the NFL.
You know,
guys,
your buddy had
minute.
That too at Michigan, from Michigan.
Yeah, he had. Peppers had that at Michigan too. You know, but I'm sorry. That just seems a little crazy to me. So, guys, we have 60 seconds, man. It's been a great show. We're glad to be back with y'all tonight, man. Man, we have so many developments this year, man. Y'all call us, you know, call in the show, you know, attend some of our events. We got to start seeing short videos that we're putting up tomorrow. We're going to have some video cast, man. We worked hard this offseason to provide a better product due to you guys, due to y'all, you know, accepting us, the way we talk about football, the way we do things. Man, we've been able to do some very, very positive things. We got some big people behind us, man. They're banking on us to do well. And man, we're looking forward to a great year. We're looking forward to a great year. Like, we'll be doing shows on Monday, Wednesday, and we'll get a little bit more intense as the season goes on. But that's all the time we have, people. SEC Mixtape, we out. We love y'all.